You're listening to episode 17 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am well. I don't like Oktoberfest beer.
Oh, that's so disheartening.
Yeah. You're a fan, right?
That's probably one of my favorite beers. That and Guinness.
Really? I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's not something that I would, you know, actively go out and seek or purchase. I went to a beer tasting last week, and it was all about, you know, the Oktoberfest that were out. And, you know, tried dozens of them and just realized, I'm like, this beer just isn't, it's just not for me. I mean, I appreciate the flavor of it. I understand the appeal to some people. It's just not my style.
That's respectable.
Yeah. Well, and on the other hand, I actually like pumpkin-infused beer.
Yeah, see, and that I don't care for.
Yeah, I just thought it was so weird. And then a beer that you don't like may have the best pumpkin-infused flavor I've ever had, which is Shock Top.
Oh, yeah, see, that's probably... I've tried it once, and I will never drink it again.
Wow. Yeah, I've never had regular Shock Top, but I've tried that pumpkin-infused was tasty.
Leinenkugel's isn't bad either.
Leinenkugel's has a... Oh, wait a minute, they have a pumpkin-infused?
I don't know if they have a pumpkin infused, but they have an Oktoberfest beer.
Yeah, I've had their Oktoberfest. It also messes me up on the inside, Brian. It messes me up.
Yeah, see, well, if that's the case, you should definitely stay away from it then.
Right. Words to live by.
Yes.
We have a Ustream channel now. Everybody talked about... Not everybody. Jesus, listen to me. Everybody. We had hundreds and hundreds of people.
Troves of people were letting us know that they wanted us to have a Ustream channel.
That's right.
So we wouldn't use it.
Right, yeah. So we had asked you guys if you were interested in us doing a live show, and I don't know of any other way to do it other than Ustream or Sketcher or any of those TV streaming services. So we heard you. We've set up a Ustream channel. No idea when we'll use it, but it's there, and it's just another way for us to show you that when you say things, we care.
What will likely happen is we will we'll probably promise that we'll do something and then not do it.
Right.
Or we will use it and we'll have like a testing session where we'll invite you in and you can kind of hang out with us and we're just going to record the show as normal and whoever shows up shows up.
Right. And then we'll be incredibly disappointed by the four people that show up and we're instantly humbled, but like, you're not important. People don't care.
But see, you know what? That's why we call it a test.
That's right.
Like, you know what? It's cool if you guys don't show up. We're just testing it anyway, so.
That's right.
Doesn't really fucking matter, but you're welcome to come.
That's right. And that's what will somehow soften the blow of disappointment.
Yeah, right, right. you also had another... Little special mention you wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, we received another donation from Lisa MP22, our proclaimed fangirl. Mm-hmm. And I also discovered that it is equally more awkward and humbling when you receive a donation from somebody you've met. So,
right.
We cannot thank her enough for her support for the show, and the support that everybody sent, you know, gives us, whether it be via donation, via social media, via, I don't know.
Anything.
Yeah, anything in which you give us feedback, we tremendously appreciate it. It's really helpful. And, but yeah, that was a little awkward.
Yeah. I can see where that would be.
Yeah. I'm not saying don't do it again, please. You can donate as much as possible. I'm just, it was, you know, it's kind of like when a buddy gives you money. You know,
that is awkward. Yeah. But you know what though, if she wants, we can set up like a direct deposit thing, and she could just have a portion of her check every week or every 2 weeks go into the 360 Vegas fund.
This is why you and I make such a good partnership, Brian. That is brilliant.
You know, it could be a quarter every check. It doesn't matter.
We will look into doing this for anybody who's interested.
So enough about that. Let's move on to the show and start off with a random Vegas piece.
This random Vegas was prompted by a question that we received from our buddy Rob, who asked why they being slot manufacturers, seem to frequently use the 9-10 jack, you know what I'm talking about. And I spoke to somebody regarding some slot information that we're now doing research on for the show, and this is what he told me. Slot manufacturers commonly use the symbols 9, 10, jack, queen, king, ace, or just the letters there, as a way to quickly identify to players which symbols are worth more. They call it symbol hierarchy. I had no idea.
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but I would have never thought about it.
It does. It does. It does, Brian. It does make sense. I got that from at Burke Andrew. He's the director of business development for American Gaming Systems.
I thought it was nice that he got back to you on that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was chatting with him about us starting to get more into slots and how it's become a popular segment so much that we've actually had to create a separate blog for it that has now become a page on our blog. And the only reason you have to do that is because pages on a blog are literally just one page where you just list things. And that wasn't really conducive to bringing you information about slots because we wanted to also attach videos and shit like that to them. So we had just...
Because who doesn't like videos, really?
Right, I know, exactly.
It's way better than us talking about it.
Yeah, we didn't want you to scroll through. You know, I was just thinking like a year in advance, and I could just see people scrolling forever in irritation. You know, and I'm like, you know, let's just set up another blog. So we got a separate one for you. No need to even bother learning the name of that one because you can get to it from our blog. So
yeah, go there. You'll get everything you ever need.
Yes.
Everything. Not just in Vegas news, but in life.
Yes. He's not lying.
It's true.
Check it out.
Yes. Now it is time for the Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
Yes, this one is from Mike. His September 26th review of Planet Hollywood, he gave it 5 of 5 chips.
I would love to read that, if that's okay.
I would love to hear you read that.
Wonderful. Mike says, amazing casino and hot girls everywhere. Well, who doesn't like that, right?
I know.
I'm staying here next time simply for the location, price, and overall vibe in the place. They also have the best party pit in Vegas, known as the Pleasure Pit. Makes sense. Even the dealers are all hot and done up. PH knows how to set a great party mood. And who doesn't enjoy when the dealers are all hot and done up?
I know, right?
I love it when they're done up, especially.
I know. I think I might prefer the done up more than the hot.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like a chick who could double for work attire and then Halloween attire afterwards?
Of course. Right? Of course. And then moving on, we also received a new iTunes review this week.
We did.
And it comes from Bob KLV. Mm-hmm. Title is Slightly Better Than 5 Hundy, and he gave us 3 out of 5 stars on iTunes.
Which, before we get into that review, is that not deceptively... When I first read that, I was like, wow, that's what an honor. You know, and then you see the 3 of 5, and you're like, I don't think he likes 5 Hundy.
No.
and I don't think he likes us.
Look, you know what? I thought this show over here at 5 Hundy was awesome, but these guys are just a little bit better. And I was like, oh, well, what a nice thing to say. And then I see this, and I'm like, oh, well, he kind of was bashing 5 Hundy and then slipped in the left jab, you know what I mean, with
right.
the 3 out of 5 stars.
Right, and so. Now he's like, and you can go fuck yourself, Sue. Like, oh, well, thank you for the feedback, sir.
Well, aside from allowing you to... formulate your own judgments off of the star rating. I'll just read his review. It's not very long, but relatively new podcast focus on Vegas. Like 5 Hundy, the hosts are not from Vegas, but they are very enthusiastic about Vegas, so they look at it from that angle, which is probably most listeners anyway, with the occasional personal trip reports. Couple of points. The feed contains both standard MP3 and enhanced MP4 versions, so you can get dupes in the feed. Guys, break up the two feeds, will you? No, we won't. That's a lie. Hang on, I'll continue reading. The enhanced version might look good on iTunes on your computer, but on my iPod Touch, and I would also imagine on the iPhone, the graphics don't move automatically with the show. The only way I managed to get the photos to change, like on the beer review around episode 11, was to change the orientation on my Touch from portrait to landscape to get the photos to change. This version also is broken up by chapters, so you can fast forward, rewind to various parts of the podcast.
You know, at the end of that, I never even thought of that as a benefit for people. Like, if they're like, oh, God, I hate this segment, they just skip right through it.
Well, that's one of the, that actually is one of the main benefits from having an enhanced podcast, because you can break it all out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so, and we really appreciate, like I said, all the feedback we get, but we wanted to address a couple of things in the review. I mean, not to, you know, I mean, look, everybody's got their opinion, but a couple of things that kind of concerned us that he had brought up, we wanted to get your opinion on. So the first being that we do put in our feed the MP3 version as well as the enhanced version, and that was actually accidental. When we initially started doing the show, it was just an enhanced, but we had people request that we be able to set up a streaming, which we can't currently do with our provider if it's just in an MP4 format. So we started doing the MP3 version so you could listen to it on the blog as well as download it. And that, by accident, caused the feed to have an extra show within it. Now, if you look on iTunes, you won't see the extra shows in there. You're only going to see our enhanced ones, and that's because we intentionally block it. But when we put anything into our feed, apparently, it's available for those who subscribe. So it's something I've never been happy about, but to justify the cost of purchasing another feed, I haven't been able to justify that yet, but we thought we would pose it to you. So we now currently have a poll on our blog right now.
We've got a couple of polls, really.
Yes, we do.
Well, I mean, between the two of us,
right? That's right. But this is a different poll, Brian. This is a poll in which people get to voice their opinions on whether they think we should get a separate feed. And as we've said before, we will kiss your ass if it somehow benefits us. And
Mark mostly will. I'll probably just allow him to do that.
Yeah.
Well, on my behalf.
Now I feel awkward, Brian.
Please continue. Right.
So we'll have that up for a couple of weeks. You know, please give us some feedback. Let us know if it is something that really bothers you, or if you just don't really give a shit. But
or just send us a tweet or send us an email. Or
yeah, really. Yeah. For you. Yeah. Exactly. Whatever's convenient for you.
You don't have to hop on our poll. You know. I mean, yeah. Anyways.
And then the second thing that he brought up here about having issues with the enhanced podcast, and that actually, I went into immediate test mode because, you know, as some of you may know, Brian and I actually had this show in beta for 3 months because that's how we roll. We wanted to make sure that this fucking thing was good to go, that we worked out all the kinks before it ever hit here.
Yes.
So when we read this review, I immediately started touching base with everybody that I know that has an iPod Touch. I have an iPhone. And I listen to the show every single week. I check it to make sure that the enhanced podcast is working, that the chapters are switching when we want them to. But I had never thought to test it on an iPod Touch. So I tapped Brian, who's got one. He's also got a Nano. Tapped a couple of our other friends, asked them to try out a couple of episodes. And we could not duplicate what Bob said that he had the issue with. So if you want to reach out to us, Bob, I'd love to help. Figure out what the specific issue is, because unfortunately, you know, nobody had the same issue. I've actually never heard that you can have the chapter switch over in landscape. In all of our tests, the only way that you can see the pictures automatically adjust or automatically, you know, flip when we want them to is if it's in portrait. So I'm really curious to find out, for one, how you did that, and for two, how we can work on fixing whatever the issue is.
Yeah, maybe we're the idiots.
It's quite really, possible. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we're the idiots and you're just really smart, Bob. But either way, we would be more than happy to try to assist you with whatever problem it is that you're having.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those of you who don't know, the way an enhanced podcast works, I mean, it's essentially the same as audio, except we attach pictures that change based on the specific time that we have them set. So in between each segment, we'll have a specific picture that goes to the segment. The Twit Pick of the Week will show up there. If we have a you know, like a unique picture that goes with a story, or there's a picture associated with one of the stories we're telling you about, we'll throw that into the feed. And as the time goes by, the pictures will change. It also creates chapter headings, as Bob alluded to, where you can, you know, flip through something that you don't like, or if you wanted to get back to something, say you want to share it with somebody else, like, oh, you've got to hear this again, or you got to see this, you can go directly to it. It's one of the things that really attracted me to the enhanced podcast format. So
it's nicer than having to scrub like through the entire show, like, and note what minute and second you are at to hear something that you want to listen to again. You can just go to the chapter. It makes it a lot easier.
Right. So thanks again to Bob KLV.
That's it.
Really appreciate everybody's feedback. Really encourage it. And seriously, Bob, if you would get in touch with us, I'd love to help figure out what's going on and maybe learn something.
Yeah, absolutely. Good or bad, guys. We love the reviews, so thank you. And now it is on to our Twit Pick of the Week winner.
Yes, this week's winner comes to us from @JamieM26 for his picture of Aria. Now, this pick is fantastic. It is high resolution. It's bright. It's an angled ground shot of the tower zoomed in to capture the ever photographically elusive Aria logo, at least ever elusive to my camera. But the blue and white glass really pops in this photo. I mean, it also has a glorious blue Vegas sky that almost matches and yet at the same time somehow contrasts with the building's colors. I mean, it's, for all the issues that MGM has had with City Center, I think they have some really beautiful buildings, and
it's a glorious place to be.
Yeah, I mean, and this picture really captures the how attractive that Aria building is. So,
you know, I would like to say that I'm glad to see that somebody is putting their very expensive camera to use, because this from what I when I viewed the picture, I noticed that it was taken with a Canon 60D camera. This is an outrageously expensive camera, so I would be very disappointed if the photo was any lower in quality than it is.
Wow, I didn't pick up on that, but that would explain why he's able to grab that logo, which is so high up, and actually have it be visible. Because every fucking picture I take, that goddamn marquee is blurry. But then again, I'm using an iPhone, so
yeah, this is a professional camera.
Yes,
so.
and a top quality picture, Brian.
You know, they looked, when I took a look at his Flickr page, he had a couple other really cool pictures in Vegas. One of the MGM at night, which was really a really nice shot. So take a look at his Flickr page. He's got a couple pictures on there. One of them looks like it may have been enhanced in Photoshop or something, but they're really cool.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't judge against Photoshop improvements.
Absolutely not. I love Photoshop.
Absolutely. So, yeah, thanks so much, Jamie. As always, we'll link to it on our blog, we'll put it on our Flickr page, and it will be featured on the enhanced version of our podcast.
Yep. Now it is on to the news segment. First piece for this week is Margaritaville set their sights on Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. In honor of their grand opening of Margaritaville Casino at Flamingo, they are attempting to break the world record for largest margarita ever made. They actually used to have this. They lost it in, I think it was
2010.
Yeah, 2010, that's right. They had it for 9 years. The current world record is 873 gallons. And this one, you know, because they don't want to have somebody just one-up them right away, Manzi, if you will.
I will.
There's their new margarita that they're going to try and set the record with is going to be 8,500 gallons, Brian.
I don't see how this can go wrong.
There is no way. So they're going to start making the world's largest margarita on October 11th. So it will be ready in time for the October 14th grand opening. It's going to take 300 man hours to make. And it will consist of 2,125 gallons of Margaritaville Gold Tequila, 708 gallons of Triple Sec, 5,600...
Triple. Sorry. It's Triple Sec, Mark.
No. What? It's not Sec, Brian? Triple
Sec? We need extra Triple Sec.
What is it again? What is it?
Triple Sec.
Triple Sec?
SEC, yeah. Yeah. All right, that was an awesome blunder.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, back to things. Hey, it's going to have 5,667 gallons of Margaritaville Margarita Mix and Lemon X Sour Mix, and 22,667 lime wages.
That might
lime
be,
wages? Lime wedges.
Wow, what a... This is a ramble and blunder fest.
It really is.
That's a lot of lime wedges, though.
It is, Brian. It is.
Jesus. I mean, that's a lot of wedges.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You're welcome.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be 30 feet tall, which is about two stories. It'll serve 181.
Hopefully it'll serve 181 people.
Yeah, yeah. <It's> I can't fathom the serving size if this many gallons, if 8,000 gallons only serves 181
people. It's served in a commemorative cement truck. That you can drive home.
That is fantastic.
A refrigerated cement truck, and it's always mixing your beverage.
Oh, see this? Wow. Does these? I'm
You're speechless.
I am, Brian. I'm completely speechless. Wow, top quality stuff coming to us from the people at Margaritaville. Well done. So, anyways, it's going to be 30 feet tall, and it's going to serve 181,333 margaritas, and those will be served from their grand opening through October 23rd. They're calling it the Lucky Rita. And
I wonder how they're going to store and serve that. Like, do you think they're going to have it in a giant tank with like a spigot on the bottom or something?
You know, you would think that they're going to do something like that. Why would you make the world's largest margarita and not have it be viewable by the public?
Yeah, but I wonder if it'll be in a great big giant container. But if it's two stories, that I don't know, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea. Well, that, and they got to keep it cold. I mean, how, and this is the one thing that really interested me about this, in all seriousness, is how do you continue to keep that thing cold and then not water it down by adding a ton of ice into it? I mean, are they going to have a two-story refrigerator or something?
Yeah, it's, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, if you're interested, you can actually enjoy the festivities, even if you can't go to Vegas, because they're going to be broadcasting the whole thing via a live feed starting October 7th. And that will be at margaritaville.com/Lucky Rita. So perhaps our questions would be answered if we simply sat in front of our computers and watched them make a giant margarita.
For a week.
I'm going to take time off of work, Brian.
There you go.
That's what I'll do for our listeners.
Well, they start the feed on the 7th, and they don't begin making the margarita until the 11th, so you're going to have a few days of watching before you find any of that out.
Right. What the hell are they going to be doing from the 7th to the 14th?
I don't know. That can be much to see.
No.
Anyways, yeah. In other news, moving on to our next piece is the Monte Carlo Fountain Bar and details. What kind of details are those, Mark?
Well, Vegas Tripping brought us some details, and per the filings with Clark County, the details are as follows. A 6,350-square-foot bar with two levels. Now, level one is going to have three bars. It's going to have a fire pit, seating area, and an outside drinking area, which is kind of funny because it's all outside. So I don't – I mean – but, you know, they're building a building. Perhaps they mean an area in which does not have a covering. I don't know.
That makes sense.
There you go. Level two is going to have a stage for live entertainment. And it will not be connected, the entire structure will not be connected with the inside of Monte Carlo, and it's only going to be 24 feet tall.
So to get on the different levels, you have to be really short.
I guess.
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting because over at Diablo, they also have an outdoor area for live entertainment on their roof. So I wonder if they're going to have dueling live entertainers.
That's awesome. Music can kind of conflicting and meshing together.
Hopefully of the complete opposite ideologies.
Perfect. Maybe it'll be like a jazz bar.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Classy. We'll see. It does seem to be the new trend in Vegas is everybody wants outdoor. I think it's put your booze and excitable things, put it right out on the street to draw people in. So Monte Carlo getting into the mix.
There we go. I really like Diablo's too.
Did you go to Diablo's?
Yeah, we went over there, but we didn't really partake, but I definitely wanted to see it because I had never seen it before.
Yeah, I really need to get over there. I've always wanted to try it, and I always end up forgetting, like many things we say we're going to do when we get to Vegas and then don't
empty,
do.
Empty promises.
Yes.
New toy store over at Neonopolis. Tell me about that.
This sounds so awesome. Now, the owner is Johnny Jimenez, best known as the toy expert on Pawn Stars. He's opening the Toy Shack at Neonopolis. It's a vintage toy store. He relocated the shop to Neonopolis to try and reach a broader audience. This place looks awesome. It sells vintage G.I. Joes, Star Wars, Transformers, Hot Wheels, and for the ladies, you know, Barbie, Strawberry Shortcake, just everything you can imagine from your childhood is there, as well as new toys, you know, for the kids. So that way you don't feel like a complete tool going in. No, why would you feel like a tool going in the toy store? This is awesome, Brian.
Nothing toolish about toy stores.
No, absolutely.
Especially not when they're selling vintage Star Wars and G.I. Joes. Come on.
I am so psyched to see this place. I'm so happy that Neonopolis is really starting to turn themselves around. I mean, they went from a really cool idea that just fell on its face, and then it just kind of sat there sadly for several years, and now they really seem to be putting some really cool stuff in there. The grand opening was yesterday, so I would love to get a trip report, some pictures, something of this place. They had a bunch of pictures in the article, which was on the Lights Vegas Action blog. Definitely check that out. We'll link to that.
Next up is the Golden Gate is going to be purchasing Fitzgerald's.
It was reported this week in the RJ that the sale of the Fitzgerald's to the owners of Golden Gate was approved by the estate of the former owner, Don Barden, who was the first black casino owner in Las Vegas. So this is a deal that has been in the works for months, but it was halted in May when Barden passed away. The sale still needs approval from the Gaming Control Board and the Commission, but it isn't expected to encounter any issues. And the Golden Gate owners hope to take over the property by the end of October. Now, after the announcement was made, emails were sent out to the employees of the Fitzgerald by the new owners that they have no intention of laying off any of the 600 employees currently working at the property. And in fact, they hope to actually increase the staff by another 200. They also have plans to renovate the casino's second floor and remodel it into a what they're calling a vintage Vegas theme. They have intentions to upgrade the hotel rooms and even rename the property at some point in the future. Now, this is the second major investment the owners of the Golden Gate have made. Last week, we reported on their proposed and, I believe, approved at this point, $12 million renovation and expansion plans to the Golden Gate property. So,
it was approved, if I do recall correctly.
Yeah. So, just so many cool things going on downtown. I'm really excited to hear that that we're going to be getting some, not only improvements with Plaza there, but now, and apparently Plaza is also looking to start renovations on the Las Vegas Club, which is in desperate need of it. So just a lot of renovations going on, a lot of improvements, all good things for Fremont Street. Really exciting.
Agreed.
Yeah. I thought you would.
you know me too well.
That's right.
Riviera sells the Colorado Casino.
Yeah, I read about this in Vegas, Inc. It was announced this week that Riviera Holdings Corp. is selling its casino in Black Hawk, Colorado for $76 million to Monarch Casino and Resorts. They're the owner of the Atlantis Casino in Reno. Now, Riviera said that by divesting in the Black Hawk property, it will allow them to focus on turning the Las Vegas property around. Now, there's no word on what Riviera Holdings is going to be doing with the money that they made from this. I mean, you can assume that they're going to put it into the property considering that's what they said they want to do is renovate it, but they didn't say in specific terms or specific amounts. And it's also unclear if Black Hawk Casino will continue to use the name Riviera. So, interesting stuff going on there. I would think that diversification would be the cornerstone to helping to improve a property, but I guess if you're looking for, you know, a cash infusion, I mean, there's one way to do it without going out and getting a loan.
Yeah, just use your own assets.
Yeah, why not? I hope so. I hope they pull it around. I really like the Riviera, and I like what they're doing right now with it, but, you know, it can definitely use some touch-up.
In our last piece of news today, there is currently a new game in the works. It's called SCOSA. And it is a dice table game. Mark, will you allude on some of the details?
I will. It is currently approved for trials by the Nevada Gaming Commission, and it's at Red Rock right now. They're testing it out. And it's scheduled to be on display at G2E this coming week. It is a dice game, best described as a cross between craps and roulette. Now, players get to bet on the outcome of a roll of the dice, but like roulette, you bet on the exact outcome. The game offers straight numbers, hard ways, ranges, and bonus bets. And also, like roulette, The bets are resolved after every roll of the dice. It's played on an 8-foot craps style table with a max of 8 people around it. The Dallas-based gaming company and creators of SCOSA, Brill Entertainment, said the game is targeted at people who are new to table games. What do you think of that game?
I think it sounds cool. I think I would like to see maybe actually visually see the game being played to really get a good understanding of how it's going to work, but I think it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree. And before I even got to that part in the story, I immediately started thinking that that's what this sounded like, was a beginner's introduction to table games, like something much less intimidating. Because that's the one thing that, you know, why a lot of, you know, newbies to table games tend to gravitate towards roulette, because it's very simple. You know, you put money on a number, and if that number hits, you win. Whereas with craps, even though the game in and of itself is relatively simple, there's so many things going on that it's incredibly intimidating to people who aren't familiar with how the game is played. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea, but I wonder. I guess we'll see how it plays out. If you recall, a couple months ago, we talked about a football dice game that O'Shea's was testing out, and I didn't recall seeing it when we went there. So,
no, I didn't see it either.
Yeah. So, there you go.
This sounds interesting. I wonder if there's going to be a lot of the same kind of moving parts in betting like there is in craps.
I don't know.
Like, I can see that you've got, it looks like you've got your proposition bets, and then you've also got maybe a pass line kind of type of bet. But I wonder if you're going to be able to play your odds and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would imagine, because those are the kind of things that the casino really gets the benefit on. I mean, those mm-hmm. are the ones that have the worst odds, so you've got to think that they're going to throw some in there. So
it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then, as an extension of our news segment, we do have our slots segment. And Mark's got some really exciting news about a new slot, a Michael Jackson slot machine, actually.
Yep. Next week at G2E, which is the Global Gaming Expo, Bally's will officially unveil their new Michael Jackson King of Pop slot. Now, Sony and the Jackson Estate provided original songs and videos for the game. And if you hit certain combinations on the reels, Jackson will moonwalk across the screen to the song Bad. You have the opportunity to, they said, use his sequin glove to spin a wheel for prizes while Smooth Criminal plays. What, are you going to put a glove on to do it? No.
You're required to wear the white sequin glove while you're playing this game.
You are required.
Not sure.
And they sanitize it after everyone's done. It'll be like bowling shoes.
They've got a bottle of Simple Green next to the machine, so you can spray it out after every use.
Right. They have a Purell conveniently stored right by the machine. So, but anyways, you also get to watch Jackson during a bonus round, during the Beat It bonus round, dance and with his foot kick the icons and transform them into wilds. There are 6 songs in total that are featured on the game, including Billie Jean, Dirty Diana, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, as well as the other 3 that we already mentioned. Now, Bally's expects the game to reach gaming floor sometime next year, and it was also revealed that they have a second version of the game already in the works with 2 more songs that aren't on this game scheduled for future release. The minimum bet is 40 cents with a max of $4, and the game features digital high-definition screens as well as the surround sound seating. What do you think?
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if it sounds as cool as the Star Wars droid hunt is, but that could just be my preference.
And then, thanks to our friend Dr. Dave Schwartz, we have a sneak peek video for you on the blog, on that new slots page that we were talking about, of some of the gameplay. It's the Beat It bonus round.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then closing off our slots portion of the news segment here, we wanted to share with you a little bit of information about a free slot tournament that's going to be taking place over at Imperial Palace every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Winners of that tournament are going to receive $1,500 in real rewards free slot play. And if you like, you can sign up for the event at the Total Rewards Center.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, we've been talking a little bit about slot tournaments lately. And yeah, hopefully we'll be able to bring more and more of that sort of information to you guys.
Absolutely.
Onto some prop bets here, just kind of some tidbits of information we thought were noteworthy enough to share, but not a lot of details with them. So,
yeah.
Insider tip from PH Vegas Twitter, quote, "The lovely ladies who populate the pleasure pit make their entrance nightly at 8 p.m. via our mezzanine escalators."
Yeah, they call it the mez,
because
that
mez,
sounds
whatever.
Cooler.
Yeah,
I
whatever.
Guess.
We know what it is.
Yeah, what why would they tell us this, Brian? I mean, are they encouraging people to stalk and or murder the lovely ladies in the pleasure booth?
Oh, man. Yeah, listen, Mark, stalking is one thing.
Right. But I'm just, look, I'm not saying that any of our listeners or either you or I would do this, but I just thought that kind of information is the kind of information that you learn when you have devious intentions or you know, you're going to commit some kind of Ocean's 11 type crime.
Heist?
Yes, heist of sorts, yes. I just thought that was thought that was really interesting. You know what, though? Maybe they make some kind of a grand entrance and it's a spectacle and I don't know. I just thought that was really odd information to give on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Moving on. Margaritaville Casino at Flamingo is now in soft opening.
Fremont Street Zipline expands. Fremont Street Zipline has been approved by the Fremont Street Experience to build a permanent structure as well as double the length. And who doesn't like to double the length?
Right.
Research is currently being done to determine how they're going to pull off the expansion structurally, which will include a higher launch platform and a second landing pad. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. The Ghost Bar Day Club at Palms is having its grand opening on October 22nd. It will be open on Saturdays at 1 p.m. And we have a link to a promotional video that they have advertising this. And I just wanted to share a little bit of it with you, because I think what we can learn from this video is that there will be champagne popping and there will be buff guys in swim gear while wearing the Florida Gator mascot's head only. There will also be mildly attractive women hitting piñatas with a sparkly stick, causing it to either rain feathers or streamers. That isn't clear to us. So if any of those things appeal to you, you're going to love this place. Prices, of course, were not readily available, so they seem to be going with the, if you have to ask, it's too expensive for you price point.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you?
I'm actually going to watch this video right now.
Oh, this is fantastic. You will see that I have done a great job of explaining it.
There's the feathers. Okay, cool. Yep, bottle's popping. Piñata's popping. Oh, there's an empty bottle of Kettle One. If the bottle of Kettle One is empty, you know good times are surely taking place.
Right.
Oh, that's too short. I don't like it. Hold on. I didn't see the Florida Gator mascot.
You didn't see that guy? It happens quick. It's just it's apparently he doesn't hang around very long.
Hang on. I'm looking for it. There's the blindfold removal.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, yes. I see it. She's just totally jacking him in the fucking boot. That's it.
Now our listeners are going to run to the video and be like, what? She's jacking him? What?
Not like that, you fucks. You sick fucks.
So, there you go. Ghost Bar Day Club.
And that's going to do it for our incredibly long and off-topic news segment.
Yes.
On to Playing Vegas. Vegas, of course, is a portion of our show where we discuss upcoming performances and acts that will be taking place within the next week. Starting off
Friday and Saturday, Liza Minnelli is at the Las Vegas Hilton. Her show is going to start at 8 p.m. and the tickets are $89 to $200.
Those tickets are ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah, absolutely. I was unaware that she is able to still perform. Well,
she's performing at the Hilton, so.
I know, right?
So let's be realistic about this.
Perhaps I'm only remembering Liza as the caricature she is on Family Guy, which is massively obese and unable to move. and I'm going, how is she going to perform? I don't know how she's going to do that. But I'm getting the impression, Brian, that is not an accurate representation of Miss Minnelli. So also,
no, that is Seth MacFarlane's. That is Seth MacFarlane's interpretation, which is brilliant.
That's right. Also on Friday and Saturday, Ray Romano and Kevin James are at the Mirage. Their show is going to start at 10 p.m. and the tickets are $108 to $137.
That would probably be a pretty funny show.
Absolutely.
Speaking of funny shows, on Friday through Sunday, Dennis Miller is going to be performing at the Orleans. Show starts at 8 p.m., and tickets will be $55 to $88. Not too bad.
No. Here's a sweet, diverse offering for Saturday. Smashing Pumpkins is at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan. Their show is going to start at 7:30. The tickets are $55 for general admission and $1,500 for VIP cabanas. Journey, Foreigner, and Night Ranger are at the MGM Grand. Their show is going to start at 7:30. Tickets are $70 to $150. Blondie is performing at Mandalay Beach. Their show is going to start at 8 p.m., and the tickets are $45. And then Incubus is at the Joint at Hard Rock. Their show starts at 8 p.m., and the tickets are $61 to $65.
Wow.
A little bit for everybody there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh.
And then finally, for Sunday, Chris Tucker is going to be at the Joint at Hard Rock. His show will start at 8 o'clock, and tickets will be $35.50 to $71. That's going to do it for Playing Vegas. On to the jackpot segment. Jackpot segment is where we report any and all Twitter-reported jackpots over the past week. And for Sunday, September 25th, Monte Carlo reported a $50,000 jackpot on a 3x quick hit machine.
Nice work, Monte Carlo. Monday, September 26th, Palms reported a $16,000 jackpot on a Deuces Wild machine.
TI reported an $80,000 jackpot on a 1-100 video poker machine.
Welcome to the fold, TI.
Yeah, really.
Tuesday, September 27th, Binion's reported a $3,000 jackpot on a triple play video poker machine and a $4,000 jackpot on a $1 video poker jacks or better.
Also for Tuesday, Riviera reported a $10,180 jackpot on a penny triple double stars machine. I love it when you see the jackpots on penny machines. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. On Thursday, September 29th, Palms reported a $20,000 jackpot on a triple-double bonus slot.
Also for Thursday, Binion's reported a $4,000 jackpot on a $1 jacks or better poker machine.
And lastly, Riviera reported a $9,745 jackpot on a $1 double-double bonus poker machine and a $10,000 jackpot on a $5 double-double bonus poker machine. Fuck, did that guy break even?
I hope so.
I know.
Wow. For Friday, September 30th, Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a Deuces Wild machine.
Stratosphere reported a $2,200 jackpot on a quarter multi-kino machine.
Wow, who's playing that?
I know.
And then finally, Caesar's Palace reported a $118,992 jackpot on a Cleopatra $2 slot, which is going to bring us to the leaderboard for September. Kind of a weak month in September. We're both a little disappointed, I think, with the outcome, but nevertheless, we've got Palms in the number one position with 16 reported jackpots on Twitter, totaling $311,000 in payouts.
In second place, Riviera reported 11 jackpots for $100,510.
And then in the number three position, Stratosphere with 9 reported jackpots via Twitter, totaling $270,001.99 in payouts. Damn you. They just wanted to hear me do that.
I know. I think they did.
They thought I was going to say 0.99, but I'm not doing it.
No.
That's it for jackpots, folks. Now on to the Vegas deals. Vegas deals, very simply, is various ways we can try to help you save some money while you're in Vegas. First item for this week is Hooters is having $1.50 Bud and Bud Lights at all of its bars. Well, they're pretty aggressive with the deals there.
Over at Hooters? Yeah, they are.
Yeah, it feels like every week we've got something new from them.
Yeah, good stuff. Tropicana's Cafe Nikki offers 80s music night on Saturday from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And ladies receive one comp drink from 9 to 10 p.m.
MGM Properties are offering 2 free show tickets when you book a 3-night stay with them. To redeem this offer, you must book by October 10th for trips ranging from November 6th of this year through February 2nd of next year. Tickets must be reserved within 72 hours of booking your room and are first come, first serve. Tickets also must be used for the same show. And the shows available are to choose from the following: Viva Elvis, Ka, Terry Fader, Zumanity, Chris Angel, and Tournament of Kings.
That sounds like a pretty good deal, although it's got some very specific details to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a pretty generous range, I think.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that Terry Fader's even in there, I mean, that's their That's their headliner over at Mirage. Yeah. So,
and they've got Ka, and Ka is supposed to be a really excellent show. I haven't seen it, but I know a lot of people that have, and have highly recommended it.
Yeah, Karen has been trying for years to talk me into going to see Ka, and I won't do it because I'm
I've got a DVD from Cirque.
You know, I did see that when we went to stay with you guys, but I forgot to watch it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's excellent.
You know what? Next time I come down, I'll have to watch that. Maybe it'll change my opinion of things.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, back to deals. Dick's Last Resort at Excalibur is offering a buy two, get one free pitcher of Miller Lite or Coors Light during Monday Night Football. You know what was funny? When I first read that offer, I'm like, who the fuck is drinking three pitchers of beer? And then I was like, Mark, more than one person can enjoy a pitcher of beer. I was like,
Yeah, dummy.
Yeah, that makes more sense, dipshit.
Mm.
Yeah, move on.
Disappointed.
You should be.
Planet Hollywood did confirm that you only receive the discount, not non-gaming tier credits.
Yeah, this is actually in reference to something we spoke about last week, where Planet Hollywood informed us that you can get 20% off at the Gap, and that they have various other deals if you have a Total Rewards card in their Miracle Mile shops. I ended up contacting them to find out, and this is what we found out, that you only get the discount. You don't receive any non-gaming tier credits.
Doesn't really come as a surprise, though.
Right. And then lastly, for our Vegas Deals segment, the Swingers Club at the Plaza has a happy hour. Every day from 6 to 9 p.m., it offers free mini golf, 50-cent draft beers, and $2 Arnold Palmer's and John Daly's. Get the golf reference?
I get it. Actually, those are pretty tasty drinks, too.
Are they really?
Yeah. I love a good Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer on a hot day.
What's in an Arnold Palmer? I don't know anything about it.
It's half iced tea and half lemonade. You'd like that. You like lemonade infused shit.
That's true.
That's going to do it for Vegas Deals. Now on to coming attractions. Coming attractions, the portion of our show where we discuss some upcoming acts and performances that will be occurring a little bit further down along the line. And first of which will be Black Star. They've officially canceled the rest of their tour, including their rescheduled October 29th show at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Refunds are going to be available at the place you purchased them from. That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. I gotta say, honestly, now that Mos Def has gone on to be, you know, a star in his own right, I did think it odd that they had kind of gotten back together to do a tour. But I just thought, hey, they're buddies. They were happy that, each has gone on to their own success. But apparently not.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it is disappointing. David Hasselhoff.
Oh, this is big news.
Yes. He's coming to the Orleans Friday through Sunday, November 18th through the 20th. His show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will run $55 to $77. What do you imagine a David Hasselhoff show is like? I mean, I know the guy has sung before, but...
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe just kind of like he'll sit in a room, and you get to just be in the room with him for a while. He doesn't even have to really say anything.
just hanging with the Hoff.
Why not? For $55 to $77.
That's right.
Depends on how close you want to be to the Hoff.
Mm, yes.
On to a real performance. Sting will be performing at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace Friday, November 25th. It will be a one-night engagement. Show starts at 8 p.m. and tickets will range from $75 to $200.
And 50 Cent is coming to the Hard Rock Beach Club at the Joint Friday, October 14th. His show's going to start at 7:30, and the tickets run $71.50.
Sublime with Rome is playing at Mandalay Beach Saturday, October 29th. That show's going to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tickets will be $45.55.
And lastly, Howie Mandel is at the Venetian Friday, October 18th and Saturday, the 29th. His show's going to start at 9 p.m., and tickets run $62.50 to $154.75.
What's up with these goddamn weird ticket prices?
Well, you know what it is when I look them up on Ticketmaster, I don't just give you the price points that they give you. If they display what the tax and breakout is, I bring it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's what it boils down to. I don't want to be like, you guys said it was $50 to go to this, and it ended up being $62.50. I'm like, well, I can't be held accountable for your inability to comprehend taxes.
Mm, yes.
So I just give you the taxes. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. So that is going to do it for coming attractions, and that is going to do it for the show.
Yeah.
Episode 17, all set to go.
Yeah. We got a little off track there, but I thought we had fun.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We just kind of bullshitted around. It's a Sunday morning. A little tired from last night. and just kind of hanging out
from the drinking that happened last night. Did you drink last night?
I drank yesterday, and as a matter of fact, I ended up falling asleep for like 4 hours in the late afternoon.
I have recently discovered my love for Newcastle, Ryan.
Newcastle Brown Ale is a fine drink, sir.
Yes, and it has been a love affair this weekend.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that to you over the past week. We were talking about some drinks. I don't remember if...
No, you absolutely did, which is why it was one of those ones on my list that I had tried in Vegas, but, you know, in various states of drunk, so I couldn't tell if I actually enjoyed it or if I just drank it because I was in Vegas, and gave it a sample and love it.
Yeah, actually, it's really good in the bottle, but if you can manage to score some Newcastle on tap,
really?
Wonderful.
You know I have a kegerator, Brian.
I know you do. I know you do.
Now I'm thinking about it.
It's tremendous. As a matter of fact, for our listeners, I live in Orlando, Florida, which I'm very closely located to Walt Disney World. And starting this weekend is Epcot's Food and Wine Festival. So the wife and I went and walked around and hung out in the sun and got a bunch of delicious food to sample, and we did a little beverage tasting of our own.
We gotta come down there one of these times for you guys. I'm not, nearly as big a foodie as you guys are and as Karen is, but...
But you like things that taste good.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do like things that taste good, and I like being in your company, so I can't go wrong.
Absolutely. You certainly can't.
No.
So, as always, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for downloading it. Any feedback, you can reach out to us via any of the following methods. You can email us. That's 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, you can do so. That's twitter.com/360vegas. We're also on Facebook. That's facebook.com/360vegas. Feel free to send us your input or throw us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to do it for the show. Thanks for downloading, guys.
Yep. See you next week.